Good morning, everybody, and welcome to iGel Weekly, the community edition. I am Barry Brown, and once again, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Seb Purasat. Seb, how are you this fine morning?
And on my end, it's pretty late afternoon. No, just kidding. It's still afternoon. How are doing? Fine. We just had a quick chat before starting the recording. It was a crazy week, and I must say, happy that it ended. So I'm really looking forward to see the Friday evening coming extremely quickly to me. But besides that, doing well. Had a great week in the community, a lot of great discussions, and happy to be there at every 2 weeks.
So it looks like summer did finally arrive in Germany. Looking at your background, the window's open, the fresh air is coming in. You're ready for your gin and tonic.
You know me very well.
And you know, when we met in Nashville back in February, March, remember that was, I didn't even see you have a gin and tonic. I know you talk about, you know, having gin and tonics every now and again.
I didn't find one.
They had
only wine and beer. I mean, that's fine enough, to be honest, but...
All right, next time, I'll buy you one out of my own pocket next time.
That's a great thing. I will remember you, I promise.
All right. So let's get on with today's topic. It's episode 81, recording today. What's today? June 23rd, 9 a.m. my time. So first thing we want to do, we're kind of going to go through a bit of a chit-chat about UMS 12, iGelOS 12, and the biggest misunderstandings around, you know, maybe the differences between 11 and 12. But before we get to that, let's kick off a bit about, you have some news you want to share about the iGel knowledge base. That's a pretty big deal. So I won't steal your thunder. I'll let you share the news.
That's perfect. So I will share the screen. So I know that most of our listeners are listening to the podcast. So I'll try to explain a little bit what I'm doing on the big screen. So as you might know, the iGel knowledge base moved into the iGel community team. So we have now the technical writing in our department, which is a great thing because we can work quite closely together and share the feedback from the market. And one feedback that we received internally as well as externally, and where it was a really poor one, if the search function inside of your knowledge base is not effective, which is a bad thing because you can create a lot of great articles into a knowledge base, but if it's not searchable, well, you will never find it. So we took over that task, and I must say it took not only days, not only a week, but more or less 2 weeks to figure out which optimizations we could deliver. So go to kb.igel.com. That's our knowledge base, kb.igel.com. And from there, you have a search rhythm. And the search rhythm can be used usually by entering a keyword like codec if you want to search for the Citrix or VMware codec features. In former times, you got not only 1108, but 1107, 1106, or 1105, partially 10, partially OS 5 answer and results. Sean, that will never happen again. You will only get the latest 12, the latest 11, which already shrink the amount of results from thousands to a couple of hundred. So now you might say,
me as a technologist, this is a big, big deal because oftentimes I'd Google or, you know, search for an iGel problem, an iGel configuration, an iGel button I need to, and I'd often, the results would come back with OS 5. I'm like, come on, guys, this is useless. Yeah. So for this to come back with the latest and greatest is a big deal. It's such a time saver.
Yeah, exactly. And I know a couple of our listeners are maybe using Windows devices from iGel. You will not find that search result anymore. To be absolutely honest, we never were a good Windows vendor. We were always Linux focused. So we said, hey, you can still reach the reference manual from the main page. So it's not lost. But the search result would focus really on the product we are focusing on in 2023 and also the future. So iGelOS on Linux, ICG, iGel Cloud Gateway, and the UMS, the Universal Measurement Suite. All the rest is just sorted out of that search result. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I was asked a couple of times, hey, that's great that I can enter a term, but I would like to combine it. Or I would like to exclude some words. Guess what? We made it, finally. So if you enter codec, how do you say it? This little...
quotation?
Quotation, thank you very much. Quotation around the word, and you enter an uppercase, an and, like an example, and then a second term, like Citrix. It will search for codec and Citrix. So that means that you will only get results which are listing both words. Sounds easy, right? But it took a little bit of time. You can also say...
It sounds like we're going to need a knowledge base article on how to use the knowledge base. all the syntax.
And you're absolutely right. We're working exactly on that.
Okay.
We're working exactly on that.
One question I have right off the bat before we before you continue on. So you search for the word codec, and it comes back with the results for the latest version of OS 11, which is 11.08.30. Yeah. What about 12? Is that a different syntax I have to use for my search function to search the Cosmos platform?
Yeah, absolutely. We will include another parameter, which will be called in, and there you can search in a specific region of the knowledge base. So yes, for the moment, the AgileOS 12 base OS is not part of the KB. We're working with extremely high pressure to get it included. The reason is there was a lot of changes from the base OS, which was released on GA, and what we will have in a couple of days. So that's the reason why you might not find it, but it's definitely on the road to you. And just jumping into the topic, so if you enter an and, you can also enter a not. So you can get answers from codec, but not including Citrix. So you will get other stuff like AVD, RDP, and so on. Just saying, the search is still not perfect. But if you were annoyed by the search in the last years, give it a try again. Again, it's not perfect, but it would definitely better fit than before. And now we can move ahead, and we have a lot of great things planned for the next 2 months, but I don't want to tease too much, but I wanted to share that because I know we have a lot of people outside who are using the knowledge base every day, and I do too, because I'm sharing knowledge base articles every day in the Agile community. Please give it a try. So that's it from the KB side.
Not quite yet. I have a bit of a pro tip. If you're searching for something IGA related, and it's a technical feature, technical button, technical setting that you're looking for, don't use Google. Go straight to the knowledge base. With the new and improved knowledge base, you're going to get way better results than you will on Google, because Google has indexed OS 5, OS 10, and a little bit of 12. So you're going to get the more accurate knowledge base article if you search directly on kb.igl.com.
You're absolutely right. Thank you very much, Brian, for adding that.
Yeah, I know I've been burned by that in the past. I was following some instructions for, you know, how to configure, you know, X. And then I look in the top right, it's OS 5. I'm like, well, that's why I can't find the button.
Yeah, we changed a couple of things since then.
Okay, now that we got some a little bit of housekeeping out of the way, let's get on to the meat and potatoes, as it were, of this episode. And we're going to talk about the misunderstandings that are out there around Cosmos as a platform. So UMS 12, OS 12. So let's start with the very first thing that we've kind of brainstormed a little bit is the biggest misunderstanding that we're seeing in the community today is that Cosmos is only for OS 12. So between you and I, Sam, let's kind of clean up that little mystery and set the record straight.
Yeah, so it's false. Next question.
Well, that was easy.
Nah, kidding. So you might have noticed that there is no UMS 6 anymore on our download page. There is a reason. We said, okay, we want to focus only on UMS 12. And since UMS 12 sounds quite similar to OS 12, a lot of our customers are saying, hey, we can only use that with that version. So the short answer is no, that's not true. The long answer is AgileOS 11 is exactly as well supported as OS 12. There is one simple thing you have to keep in mind, but we will cover that on an upcoming question. But just sharing, you don't have to configure something specific. AgileOS 11 works absolutely well with Azure UMS 12. OS 10 is also fine, even if I would definitely recommend to upgrade to OS 11 or OS 12 as soon as possible, because we are not investing any support anymore into that product. So we have definitely less update than before, so to say nothing. And so if you want to stay up to date, if you want to stay secure, I would definitely switch to an OS 12 device as soon as possible.
Okay, so that brings up a question: where UMS 11 is no longer available to download on the download site, does that mean from a feature perspective there would be no more features added in UMS 11? Technical difficulties.
Yeah, no, just the USB headset was just switched off for whatever reason. So can you just repeat the question?
Sure. Where UMS 11 is now not available to download directly from the IGEL website anymore, does that mean that UMS 11 is, you know, quote unquote, feature complete, where there'll be no more features added? It'll strictly be security related updates?
Not even that. So we are speaking about the UMS 6, but nevertheless, the UMS 6 is just dead as a previous version. It's still supported if you ask our support and if you have a question regarding the product. But basically, just is not the right term. We updated the UMS 6 with the additional components. So it's not a huge new feature set. It's more we updated to the next version and we added some features regarding OS 12. So we stopped the 6 major release and switched to 12 directly. It's more kind of a marketing thing.
Okay, that makes sense. Just a bit of a caveat that we see very, very regularly in the community is as folks upgrade from, I keep calling it UMS 11, but OS or UMS 6 to 12, keep an eye on your system requirements. The system requirements specifically around memory did change with UMS 12 simply because the web app is more feature rich, more feature, not feature complete, but there's more nerd knobs, for lack of a better word, in the web app. So you do need a minimum of 9 gigs of memory to run that. And as folks do upgrade, they're running into issues where the web server may not start properly or, you know, various other issues. So as part of your upgrade process, like just do your due diligence and make sure your host meets the system requirements for UMS 12.
So adding just an additional information, I mean, obviously you can look at our knowledge base and from there on you can look at the requirements, which is the easiest way. The second thing I would like to mention, it depends definitely from what kind of feature set you want to use, right? So if you use an external database, like an example, you will have a little bit less RAM requirement as if you would use the embedded database. Second thing, if you say, and that would be a really bad decision, but let's say you will stay on OS 11 forever and you would never use the UMS web app, that would also decrease a little bit the amount of RAM you want to use. But let's focus on 9 gigabytes for the main Azure process and keep in mind that you have to also address a little bit of RAM for your operating system. So if you ask me, for Linux, go to 10, 12, maybe 14 just to be safe. And on Windows, I would say that 12 to 14 should be the minimum to achieve.
Right. I always use the old rule of thumb. If the vendor publishes 9 gig of memory, that's the minimum requirements. Minimum requirements equals minimum performance, right? So build in a little bit of buffer, you know, 5-6 gigs. You know, with the massive hosts that people have in their data centers these days, you know, an extra 4 gigs, hopefully is not going to cause problems with your larger data center. Another misconception that I've actually run across personally is that the new onboarding service as part of the Cosmos platform replaces ICG. So let's talk a bit about that.
Oh, that's a tough one.
True or false?
How should I phrase it correctly? It's not exactly wrong, it's not exactly true. So it just adds another layer of functionality. So let's talk about the history. So if you wanted to connect a device from outside with the UMS in former times, you had to place an Azure Cloud Gateway somewhere in the DMZ or on some cloud hosting. And this virtual server had the feature to connect your device from outside with UMS, and that's it. So it had more or less every functionality that the UMS had, besides having the ability to deploy firmware updates. What we did now is we took over that communication channel that was separated from what you had on-prem, where you had to register your device by using TCP 30001, 30005, 8443, et cetera, to just needing one port. The one port is 8443 if you want to talk with a device which is outside over the ICG. And we said, hey, why not using that process also for devices in general? Doesn't play a role if inside the building or outside our network. And that's where we said, okay, the ICG is still there if you want to, but you're not obliged to. The device which is outside can talk directly with the UMS, which is on-prem or on your cloud provider. So basically, the ICG is not needed anymore. Now coming back to the point on OBS, OBS doesn't replace this communication. Neither the ICG, neither the communication to the UMS server. It just adds an easier way to onboard your device inside of your UMS. They're using a cloud provider, which is an Azure app, and which basically tells your device outside of your company where to find the Azure UMS. That's it. So it doesn't replace, it just adds an additional ease of use for the end user.
Okay, so all that being said, where ICG is no longer a requirement, you know, from a security architecture perspective, if people still want to leverage ICG to almost like front end UMS, where you don't want to put it on the DMZ, expose 8443, is that still a viable, supported, approved architecture?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's still supported, and it's definitely one of the last use cases you will have with the ICG. Since that is not needed anymore for all that communication, it will only add. I mean, even if the discussion, to be absolutely crystal clear, the discussion is not even clear inside of Azure. So we have a an Azure community member. I can give his name. It's Dan Goss from UK, which is an extremely technical person who asked in one of the last meetups, "Hey, do we still need an ICG? And if yes, what kind of security layer is it adding to our architecture?" And I was saying, if you ask me, it's always better to have a device, to have a server which interferes between your main server on-prem and a device outside. But just my view. And guess what? I started the discussion with people from product management and with our devs, and we are still in discussion regarding this. So it's definitely a great question. And if you ask me, yes, ICG has still, from a security perspective, a role to play, but definitely less important than 6 months ago.
Right. So I'm wondering if, you know, with UMS 6 going away slowly but surely, will ICG slowly but surely go away with UMS 6? I'm just speaking a lot. I'm not asking at you for a response on that, but that's what went through my head as you were speaking, that they both may be sunsetted at the same time.
More or less, yeah. Correct.
So the next question we have is, you know, that we talked about that we see regularly in the community is that once I put in UMS 12, I have to upgrade all of my iGelOS devices to 12. And people are saying, I don't want to do that because that's a whole pile of work. And the answer to that, Seb, is?
You don't have to. You can still use your iGelOS 11 with your UMS 12. The only thing that is more or less bind together is that you cannot use the UMS Java console to deploy configurations to OS 12. That's the only thing that you have to keep in mind. But the UMS can talk to OS 11, OS 11 can talk to UMS 12, UMS 12 can talk to OS 12, OS 12 can talk to UMS 12. Everything is fine. But just keep in mind that, and that's the question which is asked more or less every day, and that means that we have a better job to do in terms of documentation and product marketing also. The OS 12 device is only configurable in the web UMS. You can try whatever you like in the Java console. Java console is good for the old world, so to say, for iGelOS 11. But the web app is the only way to administer your iGelOS 12 devices. And I want to stay clear, it will never happen in the iGelOS in the Java console. So the way we are following is to bring in a near future the feature parity between UMS web app and the Java console, and on the mid to long term, replace the Java console by the web UMS, which is great because it just makes a lot of things easier in terms of communication, resource management, and so on. But for the moment, we have a little bit of a mix. So we have the Java console, which does a pretty good job in terms of UMS administration, OS 11, and then you have the UMS web app, which is increasing in terms of features every day. And just in case, in July, we are planning a release of the next UMS version. Keep it in mind because it will definitely blow your mind away in terms of functionalities. We added a lot of features. I can tell you that template keys and groups should be part of that. Custom attributes should also be part of that feature set. So like every time, every release is subject to change, but that's what we are expecting for the moment. And we might also have something regarding proxy, but I guess you have a question on that also, right?
just before we get away from that topic, I had actually two calls this week with customers. You know, these are, you know, mature iGel customers, and the simple question was, why can't I edit my profile in UMS? And it was simply because they were on 12, and you know, it just grayed out. And so thankfully that was a quick call. Customer was happy. I explained the new architecture of 12 and the reasons behind it, and everybody went away. You know, with a new understanding, a new appreciation of the Cosmos platform.
But that's a good point, by the way, Barry, because the question is also coming up, hey, can I export and import my profiles from the UMS web app? Because that's a quite common approach that a lot of UMS administrators are using since years, right? The support is asking you, hey, please send us your profile. Or you want to export that profile and re-import it into another directory or maybe another prod or dev instance of your UMS. That's not released until yet. So it's a feature which will come definitely, because I'm awaiting it too, but it's not there at the moment. And I don't expect it into the July release, but I heard some little bird telling me that it might come in Q3.
Okay. Okay. Another question that I got once this week, once last week, was if I'm running OSL or UMS 6 today, I have all my profiles configured with, you know, the profiles are all based on just say 11.08.x, and I upgrade to 12, UMS 12. What happens to my profiles that are now based on 11? Are they upgradable within Cosmos?
The connection is getting pretty poor. I can't hear you that well at the moment.
All right.
Again, I don't know. It happens every week on some questions. I'm not sure why.
I went down the rabbit hole with that one. We'll take that one offline. I know that was very, very...
No. We can discuss it. So basically, the UMS 12 will take over any profiles that you created on OS 11, OS 10 in the Java console. It will stay there. Everything is fine and they will still work. But if you want to upgrade them from OS 11, like an example, to an OS 12 app configuration, that will not work. There are discussions, because we know that we have customers, enterprise customers, who have partially one, let's say not thousands, but a couple of hundred profiles created over the time. And they're saying, yeah, good thing, Arjun, that you're thinking about letting us recreating everything from scratch to clean up. But that will not happen. So we know that we have a job to do there, and there are plans. But to be honest, I don't have them by hand to create a kind of an upgrade process for that kind of profiles. But not there for the moment.
Understood.
So they have to be recreated by hand.
Ah, okay. So the next misunderstanding that we're seeing a fair bit is the whole concept of the Agile App Store. So people are really... curious about where the apps actually, you know, quote unquote, live. Do they live in the Agile cloud? Do they live in my data center? You know, how do I publish my own custom application if needed? So the App Store is a big question mark for the community as a whole right now.
Definitely. And that's
the app portal, not store, app portal.
No, good. But I make that mistake every day. So I'm not blaming you, not at all. So if you ask me, there was a lot of misunderstanding because we didn't communicate much on that topic, because some features were not there and we stayed quite secret. But let's draw a picture. The apps, when you install a UMS 12, will be downloaded, synchronized with your on-prem UMS by using a server which is on Agile Cloud on our end. So if you think about the base OS, if you think about Citrix Workspace app, the application will be downloaded from that portal into your UMS. And let's imagine now that you have a device which is in your building and you deploy that configuration together with the application to a device. It will be downloaded from your UMS and not from the app portal. That's important to know. So the device doesn't have to talk to the app portal directly. The UMS will deploy that information. But let's imagine now that you have a device which is not registered with your UMS and you are testing it at your home, like an example. Then obviously the download will be effective directly from the app portal, depending on which kind of user you are using. But that's how it works. So the device, as soon as it's registered with the UMS, will download from the UMS. If it works from outside separately, it can download from the app portal. And now you might ask, hey, but why not having an on-prem app portal? Yes, we are working on this. It's not part of GA, and we don't expect it to have it in the next release, neither on the Q3 release, but it's definitely coming, because a lot of enterprise customers, healthcare customers are not wanting to talk to any cloud services, but want to have everything on-prem, which is absolutely fine. And yes, we will cover that need.
Okay. So I think that's a good topic for a podcast down the road when that's released, is, you know, the process of creating the packages, creating the applications, you know, approving the applications within the on-prem app store. I think there is a big need for that. You know, some of my healthcare customers, you know, similar conversations are being had. You know, we don't want these things talking to the internet, which kind of brings us up to our next question. UMS behind a proxy. Is that a supported configuration? You know, we talked a little bit about the ICG as a, you know, as a quasi proxy, but, you know, is think about some other type of proxy that is not ICG in any enterprise. Is that a supported configuration?
Glad that you asked your question. This question, I would like to leave the car right now again. So for the moment, no. And I know it's really a shame, to be honest. And I want to stay clear again. We tested so much. We did so much work in terms of user testing, more or less a year, during a whole year. The proxy thing is not included in the GA version. And I would like to tell you, yes, there was a big technical hurdle we had to bypass, but no, honestly, we just never had a customer who was using a proxy in between the UMS and the device. And even if we had weeks of brainstorming this topic, because no one was expecting that thingy to create an issue, but it does. So for the moment, if you install the UMS 12 and you have a proxy between the device and the UMS, it will not work, at least for the app deployment. But yes, it will come, and it will come with the July release. So it's more or less in the queue, and it will come in the next days.
So it's right around the corner. Okay, so instead of exposing 8443 on your UMS directly to the internet, you can put that behind your proxy and set up your routing and your networking.
That's the other way around, between the device and the UMS.
Yes. So my apologies. Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right.
Right. Okay. Let me see. The very last misunderstanding is some people seem to think that, I think this is across UMS 6, UMS 12, IGLOS 11 and 12, is ICG is mandatory if using OS 12. And I think we covered that a little bit earlier in the podcast, but it's, you know, I think, you know, with our shiny new knowledge base, I think a lot of these misunderstandings will slowly fade into the background. But I think the problems are manifesting themselves in different ways, different ways of asking the same question. But, you know, like we spoke earlier, ICG is absolutely not a requirement for UMS 12. And I hope we get the message across that we think this is Mr. Barry saying this, not Mr. Zintegra, not Mr. Igel. I think ICG is slowly going to start fading into the background.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if one day I wake up, try to download ICG, and it's just not there.
But you're bringing up a good topic to cover also. We are always talking about UMS 12 and OS 12 in terms of ICG, but we never talked about what happens with UMS 12 and OS 11. Is my ICG needed there? And guess what? Yes, it does. Because the OS 11 is still talking over the old communication way that we had in former times. So the device is talking to UMS by the ports we just talked before, or via the ICG, but it's not able to use that new unified protocol. So in case you updated your UMS from 6 to 12 and you have OS 11 devices, yes, please also update your ICG to ICG 12, just to be sure that you are aligned. And then the OS 11 device will be able to talk to a UMS by using the ICG.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. The final misunderstanding we're seeing, well, I see a lot is around licensing. So historically, IGEL sold Workspace Edition, WE, and EMP, which was the Enterprise Management Pack. So as we move into the Cosmos platform world, maybe you can shed some light on what actually license types or license files or license mechanisms are in place today, looking back at the WE EMP model. What do we have today going forward?
I will share that information into the chat afterwards, and we can maybe share it then together with the podcast. So basically what we had in former times is you had to buy a Workspace Edition, you had to get the license, which was usually a lifetime license, but you had to buy a maintenance. The maintenance then gave you ability to update the device, to get support on the device, etc. And then you had an additional pack, which was called the Enterprise Management Pack, which was used for shared workspace, but also asking for asset inventory tracker and a few other things like ICG. That's not the case anymore. What you are buying is more or less a platform access subscription, so the PIS. So you are buying a subscription for a specific amount of time, which you can then transport to another device if the device gets broken, all that stuff. So it's not a license nightmare as we had before, where you had to think of, hey, my maintenance is ending to that time. So if the maintenance is ending, even if the subscription from the EMP was still valid, it would not work anymore because the EMP can only work if you have a valid maintenance. That's it. It doesn't exist anymore. You just have a subscription, and in that subscription, everything is included. There is no subscription plus or subscription plus plus. There is subscription. And from there on, you can use every feature that you are, that they used to use, like the configuration over the new unified protocol. You have the same thing with the app updates. IMI was also there for a long, long time. You can use ICG if you want to. It's still on there. So that's it. And that's a major change what happened behind the scenes, especially if you are buying license. So just one thell that comes to my mind also, shell workplace. For those of you who are not knowing that term, because we had the question today, shared workplace gives you the ability to log in on your Azure endpoint in your Active Directory with the Active Directory credentials. That's the thing, you are not needing shared workspace to do that, but for the next step you will do. And then the UMS will talk to your Active Directory and you can assign profiles or configurations, not on the device level anymore, but on the user. So let's imagine Barry Brown is roaming from one device to another during the day. Usually you have to redeploy the configuration on every device. That's not needed anymore. You will take your settings with you together with your Active Directory user. And that's what the shared workplace is about. And it's working on Azure OS.
Okay. So I guess kind of a follow-up question to that is, you know, if I'm a customer and I've completed my upgrade to OS 12, UMS 12, in my licensing portal, I still may see EMP licenses that are active under maintenance, but you no longer need to deploy them to OS 12 devices. The WE license is sufficient.
That's correct.
So
that's correct.
I guess the question is, once maintenance runs out on my EMP licenses, will they just eventually disappear to avoid confusion going forward?
Might be.
Okay.
We would try to have a kind of license portability so the devices can be upgraded and the license can be upgraded. And from there on, you would just move to that subscription model and then you're good.
Okay. So I think that's kind of bring us to the last of the misunderstandings from the community, Seb. So I just want to throw out a pro tip I've discovered in the last kind of 2 weeks in terms of troubleshooting, not just the Cosmos platform, but also OS 11. And that is how important time is in the Agile ecosystem. And when I say time, I mean making sure that your UMS has its correct time, set for a time zone that you're in. Yeah. Your Agile endpoints have the correct time and dates as well. If any of those don't match, let's just say you're going to have a bad day, specifically around certificate management, registration, licensing. You're going to have a tough time. So troubleshooting 101, check your times.
That's correct. Definitely. And I can just repeat it. Use an NTP server wherever you can. So net time protocol server, wherever you can.
Yeah, that's one of the first things I set up in my customer environments is set up a time, time.google.com is I think the one I use. And it just avoids all headaches going forward.
I agree.
Second piece of housekeeping before we kind of wrap up. We have had some submissions for our Agile podcast intro and outro music. And some of them, I haven't shared them with you yet, Seb, but some of them are actually very, very good. So I'll share them with you. And I think, you know, what's today? Let's give it another 2 weeks. No, let's give it another month, and then we'll choose a winner, and we'll award some Zintegra swag, some Agile swag, some gift card, and we'll go from there. So what I'll do is I'll post a link to upload your audio files that you're interested in entering into the contest. I'll post that in the show notes and on LinkedIn. I encourage the community to participate. If you want to use AI to generate this music, if you want to, you know, you do some 8-bit music on your keyboard. Anything is encouraged, you know, just keep it geeky, keep it cool, keep it fun, keep it, I'd say between 10 and 30 seconds an intro. And, so I look forward to hearing all the submissions. They've all been very good so far. I've been quite impressed with what people have put together. It's, some of them are pretty we record early in the morning, but some of them, it's really get up and go type music. So get you ready for podcasting.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Looking forward to this, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
Should be a topic for an upcoming Agile Community Xantega podcast. To be honest, just listening to music.
We can absolutely do that. So the podcast we do in 4 weeks, that'll be it. We'll play them all live, and maybe we'll put together a poll for the community, and the community can pick the winner.
Love it.
So just spitballing ideas, but I think that'd be good to get the community involved because community is creating these things. Let the community choose the winner.
And in case you are not part of the Agile community, join us on join.agilecommunity.com. We are happy to gather all the information you need for Santegra and participate in all the discussions that we already had.
Yeah, it's a busy spot lately with the excitement around Cosmos. So does I wake up in the morning, yeah. I check the community. I was like, whoa, I got to catch up on a lot. You Germans get up early.
Yeah, I mean, for us, you are staying late.
Yes. Okay, with that said, let's call that episode 81. I thank you always for your time. I look forward to these Friday morning conversations we have every couple of weeks. And if I don't speak to you before then, which I know I will, have yourself a good weekend and we'll talk soon.
Thank you very much, Barry. Same to you. Have fun.
All right, bye-bye.